The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. Want the real story behind the sound bites and headlines? Let's find the facts. Remember, it's not a conspiracy theory if it's the truth. You are not paranoid or confused. You just need to know.
Welcome to a special holiday edition of Everything You Need to Know. I'm Kip Kiefer. Glad to be with you here on TKR another week. And lots to talk about, of course, in Washington, D.C. But this is Labor Day. This is the day set aside to celebrate and give the opportunity for the hard workers of America to take a break, take a deep breath, and just kind of kick back a little bit today. So since that's kind of my regular gig here on the show, because there's always so much hypocrisy and nonsense and absolutely mind-boggling things going on in this country right now, I thought we would take a little bit of a step back and talk a little bit about this day on the calendar every year, Labor Day, and how it got started and what it's supposed to mean, and how we are kind of, and if you listen to this show, I've given you my take many times of how the old adage of history repeating itself comes to fruition, and it is absolutely a true statement fact that history does cycle, and I want to tie the correlations of what's happening today to the origins of Labor Day, and I think you will see some striking similarities. And, you know, the whole reason that we celebrate this holiday was a concession to workers and people back in the late 1800s to recognize them and give them a little bit of a break. But it was also kind of a compromise bargaining chip to take some of the pressure off. And I'll tie that to modern day. And that's going to be the theme today, which basically comes down to two words: corporate greed. All right. So let's go back to the late 1800s. The Industrial Revolution in this country was booming. You had railroads being developed coast to coast. You had a tremendous amount of manufacturing beginning to take place because of key inventions that had revolutionized all industry, chiefly electricity, which, of course, if a lot of you don't know, Thomas Edison is given a lot of the credit for that, but it was actually Tesla who brought it to the next level, because Edison was trying to sell direct current, where Tesla suggested and developed what was called, and what we still commonly use, alternating current. Anyway, while all that was going on, it really gave an opportunity for industry to kind of take their production to the next level with the introduction of such a powerful new source of energy. So what basically was occurring in the late 1800s were the emergence of three monstrous figures. And I say that in both both contexts, monstrous in terms of not only their, you know, shrewdness and complete devotion to growing their industries, but also monstrous in the fact that they were huge, because all were well-financed, all began to acquire just giant chunks of different industries and businesses. They were the monster, again, that word, entrepreneurs of their time. And those names were Joseph Carnegie, J.P. Morgan, and John Rockefeller. Those were the three captains of industry who owned most of the manufacturing, the other development, of course, for Rockefeller, was particularly in the fuel area. That would continue to evolve, of course, into the 1900s, where the horseless carriages started to debut. Rockefeller commanded and was really in competition with a lot of the people developing electricity, including JP Morgan, who wound up buying out Tesla and basically became the controlling entity of electricity in this country. And Rockefeller was more involved in the fuel oil kerosene business. Later, of course, the ultimate fossil fuel, gasoline. But both of them were just booming in their businesses of competing with each other, but also filling the needs of energy in this country. And the third guy, John Carnegie, of course, was the king of the steel industry because there was such a building frenzy fueled by all of this new opportunity that his companies, again, the production of steel, particularly in Pennsylvania, but there was some, of course, offshoot down to other parts of the country, including right here in Birmingham, which had a thriving steel industry. Long and short of the story, these three guys basically controlled everything in the business world. And they ran the show and they competed with each other vehemently until an election late in the 1890s that was going to potentially put them back a little bit because they needed their candidate to win. And it's ironic because it was a Democrat that they were adamantly opposing and a rising star in the Democrat ranks at that time. And they came up with William McKinley, who was the governor of Ohio, who basically signed on as the Republican candidate under all financing and control of these three captains of industry. And McKinley wound up winning. And they did something they thought was brilliant because kind of an independent at the time, and the guy I was talking about as the rising star, it was Theodore Roosevelt, who had his own ideas and was appalled that American workers were forced to do their jobs in awful conditions, unsafe, filthy, long hours. There were no laws in place to protect workers whatsoever. Their wages were just minuscule. It was just ridiculous, but people had to work to feed their families. And these guys controlled everything that was going on. And so that was just the way it was. McKinley was elected because they basically bought the election. Sound familiar? And McKinley instituted pro-business policies, but again, as kind of a bone to throw to workers in 1894, the federal government, this is before the McKinley election, but one of the concessions they made in some negotiation where they didn't really intend to give an inch was to allow a once a year holiday called Labor Day, which would honor workers and give them a day off and give them a break. Because again, these were people working 12 to 14 hours for, you know, pennies. And really a lot of it was not uncommon for workers to die of exhaustion or dehydration or, you know, accidents because there were no safety standards. Of course, as things evolved and times changed, William McKinley, of course, was assassinated in his second term, just a few months into the second term at the Buffalo Exposition in Buffalo, New York. He was in a handshaking line with different guests, and a guy named Leon Czolgosz came up with a towel on his hand with a revolver inside and shot him point blank right in the stomach. McKinley was assassinated. And the big joke, and they thought one of their great coups, was to get the completely rampaging and idealistic and guy that we need to overhaul everything, Theodore Roosevelt, to kind of negate his influence. They had made him McKinley's vice president. And they thought that was the best place to put him because, as we still know with our illustrious vice president, Kamala Harris, a vice president really doesn't have any power, doesn't really command any direct control of anything. And by making Theodore Roosevelt vice president, they thought they had pulled off this great coup to keep one of their main antagonists on the shelf. Well, now all of a sudden, Theodore Roosevelt was president, and a lot of things started to change because he started demanding rights for workers and federal legislation, and had a whole groundswell of people. Because like then, the government was saying a lot of things about how things were, and everything's great. You hear it all the time today in Philadelphia. President Joe Biden is telling a Labor Day gathering that Bidenomics is a dramatic success. It's working. Well, I'll ask you, and you can ask other American families and individuals, how's Bidenomics working out for you? The average household since Biden has taken the presidency is on the hook for between $4,000 and $5,000 more expenditure every year. This is the kind of atmosphere that was going on in the late 1800s, where they were saying, you know, everything is going great. The country is, they're emphasizing all of the jobs. That sounds familiar, because that's the big platform the Biden administration jumps up on now, saying how great things are and the unemployment numbers and how many jobs are available. Well, again, this was a repeat of what we saw at the end of the last century, or the previous two centuries ago. I got to remember what year it is now. But at the end of the 1800s, there were plenty of jobs and plenty of opportunities. They just sucked and couldn't make enough money to support themselves, because costs were high. There was exploitation by manufacturers for products. Regular people couldn't afford a lot of the things that were being produced. And, you know, it's a lot of the same thing today. Inflation, of course, skyrockets. The deficit in this country has quadrupled. And, you know, while it seems like an abstract thing, that results in interest rates going sky high, where regular people just can't go buy a house and sometimes can't even buy a car because the interest rates are so crippling. So a lot of parallels to then and now. When Theodore Roosevelt came in and kind of overhauled everything. Now, ironically, Roosevelt was considered a Republican, but like we talk about so often here on the show, it's usually a lot of Republicans are big government guys, just wearing the sheep's clothing of Republicans. And that was the case in that time. But Theodore Roosevelt was fearless. He went against the machine and got a lot of reforms. They ended up prosecuting, of course, John Rockefeller eventually, and broke up his complete domination of the energy sector in terms of fuel oil. Made him sell off all kinds of shares of his Standard Oil, which end up being a benefit for him, because by breaking it up and selling it off, he made so much money and continued to hold on to the rights of a lot of that. It didn't hurt him. It never hurts the guy who's infusing all the capital. That's the way it is, and that's the way it's always be. The electric companies end up being a regional thing. That was the kind of result of that. J.P. Morgan certainly didn't suffer. He was a gazillionaire. And he had also already bought Carnegie Steel. So we were now the two major titans of industry by the early 1900s. And those guys came out just fine, just like it always happens now. I wanted to talk about this subject because something happened the other night that really kind of brought my mind to this, and how things never change and how history does cycle. I'm sitting here last Thursday night. I've invested something that I've always wanted. I've got a fabulous home theater now. I've got the screen and the in-roof projector, in-ceiling, I should say. That's not in the roof. That'd be hard to see. In-ceiling projector and the state-of-the-art sound system. And it was going to be a chance to watch the first college game of the year. I had watched Vanderbilt in Hawaii, but that was more of a glorified high school game last Saturday. This was going to be Florida at Utah. I had all my snacks and all my drinks and my feet up on my chair and ready to go. A commercial ran and they said, kickoff for Florida, Utah, right after this short message. Well, the short message started, and all of a sudden, the screen went blank, and I thought we'd had a malfunction with the projector or something had gone wrong. Thankfully, my housemate is my very tech-savvy son, Clayton. I immediately sounded the alarm. Something's wrong. I can't see the game because I don't really know how to adjust anything or fix anything. I know how to turn it on and change channels. That's about the extent of my expertise. Clayt came down, poked around, tried to revive the signal. And he said, why don't we go in your bedroom and see if it's on your regular TV? And we did that. And in my room on my other screen, my conventional screen, not a projector, but still tied to the same cable system, a note was up on the ESPN space that said, unfortunately, Spectrum TV is announcing that due to a contractual dispute with Disney, we are not able to provide their product. They have pulled their product from our system. If you are outraged or whatever for the greedy corporate entity of Disney causing you this inconvenience, and they had information on how to email them or write them or whatever, you know, let everybody sound the alarm that Disney's a bunch of greedy bastards, and this is why you're not going to be able to see football. Well, I have to tell you, my first reaction was, well, I don't think Disney's the only greedy bastards in this deal. And again, I hope my language isn't offensive, but there's really no other way to characterize it. I held immediately the Charter Spectrum folks equally accountable, because there's two people sitting at a negotiation table, and I know what I pay every month for my cable service. And it's extensive and it's ridiculous. And to suggest with 14 million customers that they don't have a strong voice at a negotiation table, like they're the weak little sister that's being mistreated by the giant corporate entity that's Disney. I also had visions of Walt Disney, a beloved gentleman from my childhood who used to come on every Sunday night and introduce what was going to be happening that night on the wonderful world of Disney. Walt Disney, of course, passed away in the late 60s, but he founded this company that had become such a major force in entertainment, but a major force, just like the guys that I mentioned before, Morgan Carnegie Rockefeller, these giant corporations. And I think Walt would be stunned now to see the corporate entity and the gargantuan entity that he created that has also been much maligned in recent years for their whole woke status and wanting to go back and redo a lot of the classic Disney movies, which are based on fairy tales written 200 years ago, to take gender out of them and put in characters of, you know, the drill. It's amazing how things evolve. But here's Disney, who owns ESPN and a number of other stations like National Geographic, and they can't make a deal at the table for a fair rate for that programming to the cable company. So let's understand that Disney provides the programming and the channels. Charter Spectrum periodically has to sit down and work out a fair deal. So I'm not buying the David and Goliath thing with Charter Spectrum. They are a huge company. They charge a lot of money, and they have a responsibility, in my opinion, to avoid these situations, not just by selling out, but if Disney's being greedy, they have to find a way to make this happen, because right now it doesn't affect either one of them. Disney's still cranking out programming. Charter Spectrum still on the air with all their other channels. I mean, I guess I could get involved in there's a new channel with cricket, a game very popular, of course, in India. There's an American Cricket League, and there's a channel devoted pretty much just to that very bizarre game. I guess I could switch over to something like that. But the bottom line is, I'm going to get my bill here in a day or two. It's going to be the same as it always is. the fact that about 70% of the programming I watch is now not available on their system makes no difference. They're still getting their money. Disney is still cranking out all of their advertising money, including tons of money from pharmaceutical companies. You've seen those annoying commercials where somebody's on there talking about having access to some marvelous prescription drug. Now, of course, why are they doing those commercials? You cannot go out and buy those prescriptions. You have to, of course, have your doctor prescribe them. And, you know, Disney rakes in millions of dollars with their channels running that advertising. Once again, more signs of corporate greed and abuse. Remember the Pfizer executive who was caught on hidden camera, asked, he thought he was on a date with another guy. And that guy asked him, well, I mean, you're in charge of research and development at Pfizer. How do you feel about the vaccines not being successful? And he said, dude, are you kidding me? Not being successful? That was the biggest cash cow in the history of the company. So that answer right there tells you everything you need to know, and you're listening to need to know, so that's a good thing, that that's how they view this. This is a cash-making opportunity. The vaccine was never intended to do any good or make an impact on COVID-19. I'm sure they had high hopes that maybe it would. But as we know now, the COVID-19 vaccine developed by Pfizer and others did not protect you from contracting the disease and did not protect others from you of being able to spread the disease. So by definition, it is not a vaccine. It was a treatment and not a very effective one. It really made no sense. It was mandatory. So many people, military folks, first responders, people that work in critical places like hospitals lost their jobs because they didn't feel good about taking the vaccine, which is not a vaccine. And it's just another example, tying all to the theme of today's show, how corporate entities have become part of the professional class, just as they did in the late 1800s, where their influence and their money spreading around to key officials began to set the policies. And we're living in that era again, and we need another reformer. And ironically, it's a billionaire, Donald Trump, who is their greatest fear, because he came in last time in 2016 unexpectedly and really set their agenda back for a couple of years. And they have spent every waking moment since the results of that election 7 years ago now, almost eight, trying to redirect the course back on the track that they had it on before this major disruptor, the modern day Theodore Roosevelt, came along. And there's some parallels between those guys too. Roosevelt, of course, was from a very privileged family. It's kind of amazing that he came along and became kind of a man of the people and the hero of the common working man. Donald Trump, a lot of parallels there, and they were both their own men and both kind of controversial. But it takes somebody to really kind of shake everything up to prevent this structure from being built, where your liberties and your freedoms are being threatened by these people that really believe that they are the elites and should be in control. Giant federal governments are their dream, that kind of dictate everything, tell you what you need to do, where you need to go, what you can eat, what you can drink. We talked about last week that now they're even suggesting you can only have two beers a week because it's unhealthy to have any more than that. It's kind of an amazing thing to see how these big tech companies and the pharmaceutical companies and the war producing, the weapon companies, the Raytheons and others that are making just untold millions and billions of dollars with this constant shipping of arms to Ukraine and all of the different things. They want worldwide conflict. These are the people funding the government now, just like Carnegie and Morgan and Rockefeller back in the day. The parallels are very clear, and somebody needs to come in and tear that down. And I know Donald Trump has a lot of bad sidebars to him in terms of his arrogance and the way he alienates people, but it doesn't have to be Donald Trump, but somebody has got to emerge, maybe in the rest of this group of candidates, because it is time and high time for major alteration to take place, because we are on a really, really bad course right now, folks, and everybody needs to recognize it. Anytime the professional class and corporate entities have direct influence on the decision making in this country, we are in big, big trouble. And there are plenty of laws on the books to prevent this. But if laws are not enforced, they're not any good. And now we've got a Department of Justice and an FBI and an intelligence service that all have been politicized with people that are concerned chiefly with preserving their opportunity for power, control, and massive revenue. And a lot of unelected people in our country right now are pulling the strings. Don't buy for one second that our, and again, this is going to sound cruel and ageism, but let's just call it what it is. Our vegetable in chief is not pulling the strings. He's not in charge of anything. He spends almost every day away from the White House, either in Delaware or recently in Lake Tahoe. They've estimated in just his first 3 years in the presidency that he has been away from the White House more than 300 days. Would you like to have a job where you basically get 100 days off every year? That doesn't count weekends. Those are working days. So anyway, I know I've been all over the place, but I wanted to draw the parallels to why we have a Labor Day. To observe workers and reward them, and its origins came from a time very similar to this. So maybe they'll give us a second holiday. That would be really nice. But I don't think that's what we need. I think we need reforms. I think we need responsibility in government spending, which is completely out of control. Spending trillions with a T of dollars that we don't have, that are only going to make things worse for future generations. I've got a 3-year-old grandson. I shudder to think what kind of world he's going to grow up in if this course is not altered. And any of you with young relatives or people that are going to have to endure and inherit what this current generation of, and I use this word mockingly, leaders are putting on the plate, on their future plate, is really a scary prospect. So that's about all the rants I have for today. I do want to assure you that things are not hopeless. We're just one good result from turning everything around. I saw a Gen Z website recently saying we have to impose term limits. Well, that's not going to happen, because the people that have to pass the law to impose term limits would be voting themselves out of their term limits. After out of their term being wide open, they're not going to impose limits on their own careers. We need to make sweeping changes. Every American needs to recognize this. It's not the Democrat and Republican. It's people that understand where this country needs to go and what is best to represent you, the people. This is a government of the people, by the people, for the people, and you are the people, you are the government, and every one of us needs to step up and recognize that, and this Labor Day is a great place to start getting that recognition. It's not 1894, it's not 1900, but it is about 120 years accelerated, and the situation basically has circled back around, and we're in the same spot. People that you don't vote for that are only to become as powerful and rich as possible are making a lot of the decisions, just like back in that era. And we need a wrecking ball to come to Washington. I don't think Miley Cyrus is up for the job, although that was her song. But we need somebody to take that to heart and come in like a wrecking ball and get us back on the right path. That's what I thought you needed to know on this Labor Day holiday. I hope you have a wonderful day and a great September. And I hope you found an alternate source for watching football, because corporate greed, Disney and Spectrum, they can't make a deal, so I can't watch football. I'll find a way, and I hope you will too. I'm Kip Kiefer. Don't forget, Kiefer and Curry coming up this week. I'm going to want to talk to Tony about something really historic and game-changing and groundbreaking that we witnessed over the weekend, the phenomenon of prime time. That's right, Neon Dion, as he stepped onto the big stage and made a powerful statement that I think is going to have repercussions societally for many years. I felt like it was 1947, and I was watching Jackie Robinson debut with the Brooklyn Dodgers. This is not a racial barrier breaker. It is a major perception alteration, and it's going to give great opportunities, I hope, to a lot of people that have been denied those opportunities before. So that's coming up on Kiefer and Curry. And don't forget, ABC 3340 in Birmingham every Saturday morning at 10:30. Our pregame show is the Kiefer and Curry starting lineup. We've got a great group of folks that get you ready for football. And with the Spectrum action and Disney depriving you on your cable systems, you can't watch Game Day, you can't watch SEC Nation, but you sure can tune to the starting lineup. Kip and Tony, every Saturday, 10:30. Do not miss it. Have a great week, everybody.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.